listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt, the motor writer. Hey, Andrea.
Hello.
Over there.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm a little
Kalen's
done with
not
the rain.
Here today.
Yeah, I'm a little done with the rain.
Has Kalen been here today?
No. Okay. He's taking a personal day.
Yeah.
I had
a conversation with him. He said, I'm not coming in Wednesday.
Oh.
I said, okay. Why not? He said, I got a doctor's appointment. I said, okay. What time? He said, 1 o'clock.
Okay.
I said, okay, well, just come in the morning and then just leave for your doctor's appointment.
No.
I don't think that's how it works these days.
I don't know.
It used to work that day. It used to work the way where you'd go, well, here's how you do it. Doctor's appointment's one.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to get to the doctor's office? Half an hour. Okay. Then I'll just show up at work at 8 in the morning or maybe 9. Or 7 when I used to swing a hammer. And then you'd hang out until about 12:30.
Yeah.
And then you'd leave.
Yeah, I get it depending on your day. I went and got my eyes checked finally for the first time in my life to go get like the whole eyes checked, everything, the health of the eye. And I was like, what's your first appointment? They're like 8 in the morning. It's like, let's just do it at 8.
Yeah. My feeling is...
and move on with our day.
Guess who had major oral surgery 2 weeks ago? The surgery was at 9 a.m. And then I came in at 10:30 and did 3 or 4 podcasts that day. I had oral surgery in the morning and then I had to go to work.
What was funny is when I went to the eye doctor, they're like, we're going to do the dilation, right? So we can check your eye and behind the eye. And it's like, I don't know what that means. Let's do it. They put the eye drops in. And then after she's like, okay, so you're not going to be able to see for like 3 hours. I'm like, I'm going home. She's like, well, you can't see really up close, but far away. I was like, all I got to do is see a car in front of me and I'm fine.
Well,
she kind of told me after the fact.
I should tell you that Castrol CarCast is brought to you today by Castrol for Maximum Engine Performance. Geico, geico.com, and Zybar. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that in a second. So I was at the Chicago Auto Show, probably the biggest in the world. Tell Tim, hold on a second, Max Pettit. Tell Tim to hang on. Tim was supposed to call in at the middle of the hour there.
11:30.
Yeah. Max Pettit, well, there's no Kalen, but... Tell Tim to hang on until the middle of the hour. Thanks. I was at the Chicago Auto Show.
Yeah.
Biggest auto show in the country now, they say. Massive. Had this funny experience where I was walking around and I was looking at... Castrol brought me out there and I had some like press to do, but I had some downtime in between some press. So I had like an hour and a half to walk around. And I went over to the, you know, Jeep experience and the Range Rover experience. And everyone was driving over these cast iron hills, you know, made modular hills and showing these radius degree curves and stuff with 3 wheels and 1 wheel in the air, showing the all-wheel drive capability of the whatever. Then I showed up to the Subaru section.
Yeah, it's just a trough of puppies.
That petting zoo.
Yeah, the petting zoo. I saw that as well. I was like, what's going on here?
That adopt a pet.
Yeah. They don't sell cars. They sell love.
They sell love. They're literally, Subaru loves pets. That's their selling.
The point is,
you need an all-wheel drive wagon? We love pets.
We love pets.
That's their
puppies
angle.
Rule.
Nothing about bonderized steel or twin I-beam suspension.
Are these local puppies or do they go on tour?
I don't know.
Do you think they were the same puppies at the LA Auto Show? Because I saw them there as well.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
It's so... It is the saddest testimonial about our country. We are so ready to be beaten in a war at this point. It is absolutely insane that you guys sell an off-road vehicle, essentially, and you sell it with puppy love.
That's it. Not one new feature on the vehicles was advertised.
I had no idea what it was other than it had... I thought each one came with a dog. That's what I thought. Hey, Chris from Expat, does Tim need to be on? Can we call Tim back?
Yeah, well, he called us. I was letting you know he was calling. He was calling now.
Right, but can we not have him call now?
Okay.
Can we just give ourselves a couple minutes and then we'll get Tim on the phone?
Yeah, you said to the middle of the hour.
Well, we're not there yet. I just told you a few minutes ago. Just
we are at the middle of the hour.
All right, I'm looking at a clock that says we're not there yet. Okay. But okay. All right.
I'm just letting you know where he's on. He's good to hold.
I don't like the idea of him holding.
Okay.
I wanted to discuss a few things, and then I was going to bring Tim on.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right.
Yes.
I'm having a day. It's a very complicated day.
Yeah. That's, it happens.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
I know, but it's like, eh. All right, anyway. What else?
Well, what we missed was the awesome event in Paris. Now that everybody's back, telling us how great it was, and like everybody was out there, I always kind of thought of the Paris auction as the auction, and I didn't think of it as like a whole like Monterey car event, or you know, of Paris, this retromobile event or something,
right.
And now that's we've got to somehow figure that out. We got to add that onto the list for next year. We got to figure out a way to do that because it looked pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no racing, but it's just like a car event. That's
the Paris Air Show is something that all people, not necessarily gearheads, but all the people that are probably interested in listening to us talk about cars. If you have a list of things you'd like to do, Paris mm-hmm. Air Show should be on one of them. And the Paris Air Show, I think, takes place. No, it's everything.
Okay.
Takes place about Le Mans time because I was in Paris for Le Mans, or staying in Paris to then go to Le Mans. And some guy who's like a fan just like, saw me and went like, hey man,
yeah,
you should go to the Paris Air Show.
And I was like okay.
Okay. And so we went to the Paris Air Show. It's mammoth. They have tents where they sell like Stinger missiles and stuff. Like it's kind nice. Of a weird thing. Like hey, if you're a medium-sized country and you need some Stinger missiles, yeah. we can sell you some.
Sure.
And they have like guys in Soviet MiGs doing like the Cobra move where the guy lifts the nose of the MiG up, drops the bottom end of it, just sort of scoots along the sky.
They're going to hit the brakes. They're going to fly right by.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right,
Tom
Mav.
Cruise.
They also get like the weird, it was like the unveiling of that double decker 600 passenger commercial airplane.
Okay.
And the guy was out flying it like it was a barnstormer.
Yeah.
And it was like, the plane is so big. And it's so low off the ground. And the guy's turning it. He's got it banked hard. And he's going so slow that you're like, it's going to fall out of the sky. Yeah. Like it's going to kill everybody. Like it's like this massive. It looks like it's just like turns like. And you're like, it's going too slow.
It's amazing some of those things fly. You never think they would.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So the Paris Air Show is one, the Paris Retro. What do we call it?
Retromobile?
Retromobile or something. We're probably saying in a very ugly American kind of way.
Which happened now. So the air show, if it's near Le Mans, Le Mans is what, like 2 weeks before Goodwood Festival of Speed? I think we need to go to Europe for like a month.
Yeah, we need to just quit our jobs.
Just stay for like the month of
let's,
June.
Let's just take a bunch of personal days and go to
Le Mans. Yeah, just a bunch of Le Mans. Personal days. Go to Le Mans and air show in the Goodwood event.
You find out, Max Pata, when the Paris Air Show is and see if it happens to be like a few days before Le Mans. Because it was that time. Otherwise, I didn't go out there for the Paris Air Show. I went out there for Le Mans and I happened to be around. All right, let me tell you about Zycoat. CarCast brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, lower under hood temperatures. Zybar is the ultimate thin, high temperature coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. Put Zybar on, take heat off, learn more at Zycoat.com. Now we have Tim McCarthy, who's the founder and CEO of Zycoat, very interested in this stuff. I have a poster that somebody just sent me. I'm showing the Motorator here.
It's
the Lime Rock Park. It's one of my Oldsmobiles, And I don't know if it's Newman driving it or it's Scott Sharp, because he's wearing a full-face helmet that Newman didn't wear very often. But I feel like sometimes, and actually I have this full-face helmet, and it may be Scott's and it may be Newman's. I think Newman had a full-face helmet, but it's a really cool poster of the Oldsmobile with the Pepsi livery on it, which
that looks good.
Kimmel hates. Wait a minute. Came with a letter, so let's say
Kimmel two hates ACS Pepsi team. Kimmel hates race cars.
He hates both, but especially Pepsi. Yeah. I want to wish you all a big congratulations on your 10-year anniversary. The podcast has carried me through many a long drive and arduous task, I think it says, is written in handwriting. I have laughed some and learned a lot from you all. And sincerely, Joe. I can't make out the rest of the name.
It's very nice, Joe.
Yeah,
thank
we're going
to
have to hit Joe back and tell him thanks for the poster. It's really cool. I'm glad that people send that stuff in. All right. Should we talk to... Yeah, sorry.
So the Paris Air Show is literally the next day after Le Mans. So Saturday, June 15th, and Sunday, June 16th is a 24-hour Le Mans. And then Paris Air Show is the 17th all the way to the following Saturday.
Well, you guys all owe me, because if you are thinking about going to Le Mans, a lot of people do that as sort of a destination, vacation, event, whatever. Man, go check out the Paris Air Show the next day.
Yeah.
Because your mind will be blown.
And then
it
stay for a couple
big.
Weeks and go to Goodwood.
Yeah. All right, Tim McCarthy, we will now get him on the blower. Michael Mann came in this morning. We got started
Miami Vice.
Talking. Oh, guess who's making a Ferrari movie?
Yeah. I heard there was a Miami Vice reboot TV show coming back, possibly.
Hmm.
And you know, you remember the episodes of Miami Vice with Danny Sullivan, race car driver.
I talked to him about
it. And then the Newman car in episodes.
I told him I had that Newman car. And Michael Mann said he raced in the Ferrari Challenge for 6 years.
Wow. Like back in the day or like when?
Well, I'm guessing sort of half back in the day. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was.
I'm not sure how long Challenge has been around, but it seems like it would be a bunch of white Testarossas out there with guys in pink shirts just running the season.
You did see a lot of those. You did see a lot of those Ferrari Challenge cars, like 355 and stuff like that. You know, they're out there from the mid late 90s and stuff like that. So if those cars are out there, those were Challenge cars. Tim?
Yes, sir.
Good to speak to you, my friend.
Hello.
Likewise. Adam, Matt, how are you all doing?
Doing all right. And I'll tell you what's going on is Tim and I were on the phone the other day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he came in before and he's like, my product's good. Don't put it in an aerosol can. And then I called him on the phone and he's like, guess what? I got a product in an aerosol can, but I figured it out. Figured something out. And I'm like, you should call in and we should talk about it and tell us what's new, what's different, right?
Well, before we figured out that the whatever the propellant was would sort of pollute the very sensitive flora and fauna that is Zybar.
Yeah.
But now you tell us.
Well, I'll tell you, one thing we pride ourselves on is we're a technology company and we're constantly innovating. And we stumbled on the raw material and the interaction with the propellant, and we created Zycor. And it's the first aerosol high temperature coating that actually works. And we're excited. You know, it's got all the attributes of Zybar, the corrosion resistance, the color stability. It doesn't provide heat dissipation, but for your weekend warriors, your car show guy, the guy that's not that interested in horsepower, but he wants those headers and the block to look really good when he lifts his hood, Zycor is the product for him. And it's simple to apply as, you know, an aerosol spray.
Well, for a million years, there was always that 1350 or 1750. I can never figure out the flame
with the
number.
Flame,
with the flame, and
that
was about it. And you'd put it on, and it'd look okay until you started using it, and then the rust would start pushing through, and it wasn't very durable. Funny, all my BRE cars, they would use the yellow version of that for the exhaust manifold for unknown.
And sometimes the tailpipe, I don't understand that.
for unknown reasons, but it never really worked, and there didn't seem to be any, there was no do-it-yourself aerosol thing that really worked. You'd have to send something out to be ceramic coated or whatever.
Right on.
Do we have different, I think the 1350 or whatever, the 1475, whatever that was, it was always flat. I don't think there was a semi or satin or whatever.
Or any kind of like fine metallic or any of that.
Does yours come in different sheens?
It does. It comes in different colors. Mm. So the key is we separated the primer from the color coat. Mm-hmm. And what we're able to do, the Zycor primer is the base coat. It's also a standalone coating. You can use it as a block coating, as a header coating, and it's a moderate or dark gray color. Mm-hmm. I mean, guys are using it as just a standalone coating. It gives you 5,000 hours of corrosion resistance. We've got 5,000 hours of salt spray testing and zero corrosion. So the key was separating out the color from the base coat or the primer.
Right.
Then we developed the color coats that go right over the top of it.
Right.
So we've got a Porsche gray as an example. We're working right now on a Corolla yellow.
Ooh.
We're a bitchin' black. We've got Gasser white, the old, muscle car Gasser series. So we've got those three colors right now, and we're working on the color palette, frankly, and we'll add as the market dictates.
I love a Gasser because that's a guy who says, well, a live rear axle in the rear's fun, but it's even more fun, a straight axle in the front.
Front. Every time I see the Gasser.
You want to talk about handling? Forget about your independent rear. We got non-independent front.
When you see it with the tank in the front, I always think of that cartoon with the big dog, and he always has the barrel of he's got the little barrel around
that
his neck.
That is rum, and that is a St. Bernard, and that's a rescue dog.
That's right. And he just brings booze to people who need it in need.
Yeah.
That's what I see. When I see the Gassers, I think of that. So the Zycor product is a corrosion-resistant, high-temperature paint. And then the Zybar product that we've been talking about is that, plus it has the heat dissipation. So it blocks the underhood temperature. So you've got one that's just the corrosion resistant cosmetic version, and then there's you can step up to the proper Zybar. Is that right?
You got it, Matt. It's Zycor is for the cars and coffee guy.
Mm-hmm.
The car show guy that wants to lift his hood and have his block look good. The Zybar is the Mac Daddy coating. That's for your high performance race, circle track. The guys that want the extra horsepower and the heat dissipation properties, they would step up and do the Zybar product.
And the Zybar's going inside, let's say, the exhaust manifold.
Yeah, you can do it in and out.
And versus out, or you can do both. I'm glad you got the rattle can version of this stuff. And when you get the Corolla yellow stuff ready, I'm definitely in because again, the other stuff, it's pretty much just like barbecue paint. It just kind of,
it's got kind once of a, it heat it's got cycles, kind of like a powdery look to it.
It's like, very dry looking. It looks like my grandpa's hair before he passed away. And once it cycles a few times, you start seeing the weird little rust spots pushing through, and it's no bueno. Where do we go, Tim, to get this? And when are you going to have, if you're not already, when are we going to be able to find this stuff at the Pep Boys and the Track Auto Part and all that stuff?
It's commercially available now. It's available at Summit Racing. It's available at Zycoat.com, Zycoat.com. It's available at several auto parts locations, AutoZone. So, a number of automotive parts, distribution, supply houses, Jegs, Performance, Jegs.com, mm-hmm. has the Zycoat products. So, you know, we're real excited about the early stages of the distribution.
Well, I'm glad that I love innovation. I love the science. I love the fact that you're testing everything. And I love that this space evolves simultaneously in so many different miniature spaces within the space. You got guys working on brakes. You got guys working on lithium grease to pack the bearings. You got guys working on the protected, the heat stuff for the headers and exhaust manifolds. Like, yeah. I just love that there's a million different people all figuring out a way to make everything better, and I'm going to put it on my car. Thanks, Tim McCarthy. We appreciate it.
Hey, I really appreciate the time, and I'll look forward to seeing you guys next month at Peterson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
great.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. Talked to James Brolin last week.
Yeah.
Raced with Newman and everything. We showed
Clint
you that.
Clint Eastwood? Clayswood.
And Gene Hackman.
Yeah. That's the one that surprises me.
So they all went out to Bondurant
uh-huh.
Racing School. I guess Paul and Clint Eastwood and Brolin and Gene Hackman, and he said Hackman was the fastest out of all of us.
Really? I'm surprised again. I feel like because probably there was beer involved.
What?
Probably beer involved.
Oh, beer involved.
It sounded like a dude's weekend going out and driving cars on a closed course.
Certainly.
A couple of nightcaps.
we got Leno coming out. I invited Joel McHale. We'll see. There's a few people that are on the invite list. We'll see how it pans out. You can go. It's March 10th. It's at 2 p.m. You can. It's $35 to submit your car, and it's $20 just to show up and spectate. Do you have some announcement?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, we want everybody to bring cars out there. We want to see everything. Anybody that's listening to the show, we want to see whatever you're driving. Tesla, Pinto, doesn't make a difference to me. Let's do something fun out there and get a bunch of people. And then Adam and I, we're going to be judging some cars. There's going to be a People Choice Award. We're going to give out some awards. We're going to give out some prizes. And we're going to have a bunch of, like you mentioned, Leno and Mike Brewer from Wheeler Dealers and maybe Joe McHale. I heard that Danny Trejo may be showing up and a couple of other friends that we sent invitations to. So we'll be chatting it up with them and doing a little bit
of there's a lot of car guys in this space, mm-hmm. in this city, and they don't get to get out and do their stuff that often. And it's like I said, like a lot of, I don't know, Joel McHale, Joe Rogan, like guys like that who don't have stuff and don't really get to go out and show it.
Brad Fanshaw, my co-host on Shift and Steer, is coming up. His business partner, Michael Anthony from Van Halen and The Circle and Chickenfoot. I think Michael's coming up. He just got himself... I want to say it's a Mercedes AMG GT. It's like a matte black AMG GT, the two-door sports car. I think he's going to roll that up and hang with us as well. So, and possibly Billy Gibbons. He's looking at his schedule, and he wants to come up and probably something lowrider-ish. We'll park him next to Danny Trejo, and everything will be good. Trejo's got a good collection of lowriders.
He'll be handing out tacos. All right. Dave Merrick, executive director of Acura and Honda, is going to come in a second. He's our old friend. First, we'll get him and start bringing him this way. I'll tell you guys about Zycoat. Many engines, like my BRE Datsun 2000. Place hot components, manifold and exhaust close to intake, plug wires, carburetors, it's all brakes, master cylinders, it's all on the same side, everybody.
Ugh,
drives me nuts. The heat's the enemy of speed. Before, your only options were wraps and tapes and ceramics. Now, there's Zybar. The DIY high temp coating reduces radiant heat by 90%, so... This is the stuff you put inside the header. Do you put it inside and outside or just inside?
You can do inside and outside, yeah.
Do inside and outside. Resin-based polymer formula withstands temperatures in excess. In the engine compartment, by the way, it does get hot. And this thing costs about a third as ceramic coating does. Single application of Zybar. To your manifold or exhaust system or headers, controls heat resulting in higher horsepower and more torque, everyone. So check it out. You get a 15% listener discount plus free shipping on online orders. Just use the promo code CARCAST when you purchase your Zycoat. Zycoat.com is where you go. Good to see you, Dave.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
I just heard hot.
Yeah, hot.
And he came a running.
That's it. He came going.
Absolutely.
Dave Merrick is here as a friend. He's he's the genius behind many great automotive designs. Brag a little, Dave, for our audience about some of the great cars you've designed.
32 years?
It'll be 32 October. Yeah.
And
when you throw it out there, you think, well, when I first was doing the NSX, the first NSX, that was like my first project. I did the Accord wagon. And I got to do taillights for the NSX. We were doing the rear end.
But you
got to
put your touch on it.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah,
every
yeah.
time you
yeah,
see an totally NSX, like, you're like, well, yeah, taillights are mine.
Well, this is, no, the actual seats. So I was in Japan, and my girlfriend loves this story because I was in Japan. And, when you know, 30 years ago, they had an intercom, and it'd just be nonstop Japanese. And it'd be like,
right.
I saw that movie, Gun
and,
Home.
Yeah, but it's like, it literally was like that. And all of a sudden, I hear, Dave Merrick, and I went, what? That was me. And what they wanted me to do was go up the studio and sit in a clay model of a seat because they wanted a big, fat American ass. I mean, literally, that's what it was. But can I say that on air?
Yes.
Okay, good. Anyway, it was – and literally, I sat in that thing for like 2 hours, and I'd get up, and they'd model a little bit, and I'd sit back in it. So I'm the butt model for the NSX. So there you go. But, you know, the Element, the – you know, it was all these things through the Cadence.
Yeah.
And finally, you know, going back to Acura, the Precision concept and the new NSX, you know, that's kind of when I came on board for the new Acura. So it was a good time to come to have a new supercar.
Switching from Honda to Acura, you work on sort of both brands, but now you're mostly focused on the Acura brand.
Yes.
And, you know, we've been invited to your Monterey event every year for the past few years, which is always great. And we saw the NSX a few years ago in the racing car, and then the new NSX, and it was a great event. I think we were all a couple cocktails into it. And we're like, what is that color? And you're like, that's Dave Merrick orange.
There you go. They're orange.
Which like, that's a great new color, though,
by the
way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It actually is pretty bright, and it's the car needed something like that. We're always, honestly, one of the things we have to do as a company, including Honda, but literally Acura, we need to put our, you know, just go, this is us. And we're always careful. And that was something that wasn't careful, and we need to do that. We need to do that more.
I have a question, possibly a legal question for you.
Uh-oh.
And I'm not sure how this works. And I know how it works in other entertainment forms. And I should mention the podcast, Man Seeks Adventures, available on iTunes. Brad Fanshaw, the aforementioned Brad Fanshaw, mm-hmm. and Heather Storm, also on the pod as well. And you look for that on iTunes.
To most people, it's Heather Storm, and then we're there somewhere.
But I've been driving around. I was just traveling around and driving around with Mike August, who I travel around with and do live stand-up shows and blah, blah, blah. Every time we come up on the new, I think it's the new Honda Civic, he goes, oh, it's an Audi A7. And I go, no, it's a Honda. I think it's the Civic. And he goes, it looks just like the A7. And I go, yeah, it's got like the same shape. Smart. A7's a great shaped car.
Sure.
And
fastback feeling.
Saw one in white the other day. And I was like, God, it looks a lot like an A7. And he goes, they copied the A7. And I go, well, I don't know what the rules are.
I have no knowledge of that, Senator.
Like, if you find a picture of that new Civic, I think you'll. But so what I'm saying is in the music world, George Harrison famously sued by the Shirelles.
It was, yeah.
He's So Fine.
He's So Fine, yeah.
And My Sweet Lord. Now, you hear those songs, you're like, My Sweet Lord, and she's a new language. And I listen, I go, that's not the same song. But they sued, and they won money. So there's a version.
Ed Sheeran's being sued right now.
Huh?
Ed Sheeran's being sued
right
now.
So there's, obviously, we all know the musical versions. There's another one with Alan Thicke's and Stealing.
Oh, yeah. That was the original with Marvin Gaye.
Right, Marvin Gaye. But what are the rules with cars?
Literally, there's patent. You have to patent everything. And we scan the car. We submit it to a patent office. And that's U.S.
Right.
So there's a global issue, too. But literally, you have to comply, and whoever has the patent first. I would submit that the Civic, if you go three generations back, we were already starting to do the faster back and not a true three-box sedan. And that's how this car has evolved from that. I think the Audi coming out, you know, you look at the 7 and you go, wow, that's, you know, that's a nice car. But
yeah.
But the kind of movement from a three-box sedan has become much more of a coupe sedan looking.
Sure.
All of them become more sporty. So it's hard to copyright that or
I get it.
Yeah.
Like everything goes through the same wind tunnel.
Right.
So they start to take the same shape.
And safety.
Yeah. And safety as well. But is there ever been cases like you see like a couple things there? You know, you see the Chrysler 300. They're kind of going for the Bentley kind of look with the big grill and stuff. There was a commercial always cracked me up from the 70s, which is the Ford Granada. And they would advertise that people are mistaking it for a Mercedes.
Right. Yeah.
Like they'd go, well, there's a Mercedes in the parking lot that left their lights on. And
right.
the guy's like, that's a Ford. That's my Ford Granada. Oh, we thought it was a Mercedes. And like, it looks nothing like a Mercedes.
Right. There's kind of a play on that now with Buick where they're like, I'm in the Buick. Where?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah. From an Acura standpoint, we hope people do copy us. I think that'd be great. I'm all in. There's issues with China, of course, with the land wind and the
right, because those they could just do knockoffs.
Yeah,
they could do like
but
the,
I think
the $22,000 Range Rover knockoff.
But literally it's the patent that you go by, and it's legal. I mean, it literally they go through it 80% or whatever it is. So I think, and you're absolutely right, Adam, that the genre now is that you do wind tunnel, you do all this. What's better for your rear headroom, more storage? I mean, it's almost like a hatchback. So you end up with more space, and you know, it's more logical.
It's a little bit
like how many of the cars that if you take the front and rear fascias off that
similar.
It's all pretty much the same in the middle.
It's proportion and you have to do things in there, but
it's sort of like I've always sort of lament about fighter jets that are all sort of made on the computer and made in the wind tunnel.
Right.
And they're starting to take on the same shape because why wouldn't they?
F1 cars.
F1 cars.
Yeah.
I was comparing F1 cars to fighter jets. You go back to the 70s and the 60s with F1 cars and 70s and the 60s with fighter jets, and they all look different because every country's just doing their own thing because they all have their own Dave Merrick over there.
That's what it is.
Who's trying to figure it out, but feed it into the computer and feed it into the wind tunnel, and that's a universal language.
Well, I did a panel discussion in Detroit one time, and I won't say who, but one of the race cars is not attractive. And I didn't want to say it's not attractive, but I said, you know, if it looks good, it usually does well on the track. And that's kind of from a 70s F1 car, you know, fan. The good ones were awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then you look at some of them and you think, oh, that's not good.
Well, as a designer, you went to Art Center in Pasadena. It's well known
for
the automotive space. And how much of... Because you teach there as well,
yes,
right. So, you know, you went there quite a while ago. how has the program changed? The curriculum changed? How much does aerodynamics and computers are involved with designing the cars now?
It's huge.
Like teaching
even in our studio. We used to just get out markers and sketch a drawing and go build that, and we make a clay model.
It looks swoopy.
It's
got
to be cool.
Who knows if it's got down?
Sure, the door won't open, but
it.
I don't care. But literally now, it's we talk about this that Art Center people, friends of mine say, man, if I had to go to school now, I could never do it. I couldn't graduate, and I would always say, I'd own it. I totally own it because you're that personality, right? But it's you know, packaging, aerodynamics, everything. We had all that. We were exposed to it, but not like it is now.
Now, you do something. You go back and forth with Penske, with Roger Penske on something?
Yeah.
What's that about?
With Roger himself?
Yeah.
Dude, that guy is amazing.
He is
amazing just person.
He's going to rebuild Detroit by himself.
And he already has.
I've
complimented on that every time I'm there, which is considerable. It changes all the time, I think, for the better. But I was stunned because the first real interaction, I mean, I've met him before and through racing, but the first real interaction was doing the DPI car. And more about the not so much the design of it, because we did the whole front clip and in the studio, but the graphics. And he came up to me the first time and said, what do you think about putting orange here? And I look at him, so Roger Penske, and I go, yeah, I'll do that.
Sure.
If you say it, I'm doing it. But and then we walk around the car, and then he texts me now, or he'll do like a little text, and I literally at work, if he calls me,
yeah,
I literally go, you got to take this call. I got to take this call. When he calls, I go, oh, excuse me, Roger Penske's calling me, and I show my phone to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, but he'll say, what do you think about this being this? And I'll just go, let me look at it, and I'm a little uncomfortable, or I am comfortable. And then we go back and forth, and he'll shoot me notes, and I think, how did this happen to me? Oh my God.
You're exchanging design ideas with Roger Penske. Ooh, maybe the NSX is Roger Penske orange.
Well, he probably has commented on it, just not to me yet. But.
We were talking, Matt and I were talking off the air about you and your involvement with the Apple Computer 935.
Yeah.
And as you know, we're doing a kind of tribute car to that car at the other shop. And Matt was explaining that you have some history with the car.
Well, sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I was working for, I wasn't even working for that. I was like just the guy that wouldn't go away. And so I was with Overstreet Racing, and we were racing a GTU 914. And I had done the paint scheme for that. That was basically a stripe on top of a stripe on top of a stripe on top of a stripe.
Yeah.
And I was also in Porsche Club. So, kind of just everybody, because that's that Bay Area, Golden Gate region, mm-hmm. and Sacramento Valley. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of all blended. And so I got to be friends with John Clever, those guys that were on that team, and got to dump can a couple of times. But I was around the Sox car and the Apple car a lot. And just, when Matt showed it to me.
The Sox cars, the Sax cars, pronounce it with S-A-C-H-S.
If I was in Canada.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, by the way, I find that scheme to be beautiful that car.
So I love the Apple car, but to me the Sox car was
best looking.
The shit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like there's something about you start with like a white base, which helps, and then you start getting into these deep blues and some oranges or whatever. I don't exactly know what the formula is, but I look at that car and I go, that's scheme on a 935. Yeah. Like that is the best color. There's been a couple of good ones. Mine, when it won Daytona, was in a royal blue with a gold whatever, and it looked good, but not
that was the K3 body, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it literally it.
You've seen that car at our races a million times,
and there's a bunch of clones of that, but the real one is like awesome.
I just wanted to bring up a picture in my.
Well, but
head
I think the other thing they did,
eyes next time, use your brain.
That was Garrett's, and they were.
Look at that car. We're looking at that car, and it's like
there it is.
It's got the orange.
Oh yeah, it's good.
It's got the white base. It's got the blue, kind of purpley blue, like in light blue, like coming off the white. Like it's got all the perfect elements.
It's well done. And then the complementary color, you do blue and orange together, but you do it tastefully.
Right.
You get that. Yeah, I like looking at that.
It's great.
But
but
the Apple car, the two cars together were the best cars in the paddock. I mean, you'd walk through and go, oh, shit, there they are.
Well, the Apple kind of has the same scheme.
Same guy. same graphics guy, how do we do this?
So what was your relationship with that car?
So that was, I just literally was like a helper hanger on her, mm-hmm. but I was always around it. So I've dump canned a couple times and things like that, but I was always also doing the GTU stuff. But, my history is that I've always gone for the detail of everything on the car. Mm-hmm. And that's why everybody will come up to me and go, when Jerry was doing his, mm-hmm. Joey Cavalieri came up.
Oh, you're talking about Seinfeld.
Yeah, and he goes, hey, this
Joey car. Joey's out here. He's by the Van Nuys Airport.
Right.
He does very hands-on work.
Yeah,
he's
amazing.
But if somebody rolls a scarab, he's the guy you call.
He built it first and then built it again.
Right. And that guy walks around with his leather smock on and every tool's in its place.
It's perfect. Yeah, he's that guy. But literally that car,
Jerry Seinfeld's.
His 935.
Which
the
one?
Martini car.
He has a martini car.
Yeah. And literally, it's like, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. For me, I was going, that's wrong. That's why I the attention to detail, like looking at the Sox car like we were.
The martini car is a great livery
as
well.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And it's white with blue and red.
Yeah, stripes. It's kind of like a woman.
True formula.
She's thin at the waist. She's big bosom.
That's totally it.
White teeth.
No question.
That's how it works. There's a scheme.
It does, and we all get it. We're like, oh, that's good. I don't know why, but I like it. And literally on your car, I think that's, you know, I've just devoured that car so much that, you know, I'm here for you.
Oh, we'd love any input you could give.
But I did already say I think that running the Sox car running the six, the big six with the angle, and this car with the nine running the angle is.
So that was my question. I'm going to tell you guys about Geico. But
that's
the
meatball, right?
Do you run the number 71 Apple computer car or the number 9 car? It's a slightly different. You'll see the difference between the two.
And we're looking at
even in our storyboard in the other room, we've got them both.
Yeah, there's the
right.
That's
you see them
the shit
both,
right
but,
there.
So take a look at that, and I want to hear from you guys about it. But first, everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com.
Well, we know Dave likes the 9.
You like the 9.
The 9 is slanted and has many dimensions to it,
yeah,
and
graphic.
The 71 is just kind of stuck on there.
Yeah.
So the 9 has a much more...
It
sort
looks
of
more
incorporated,
modern,
holistic feel.
Yeah, it has a more of a holistic. The 71 looks like someone told you you had to put a 71 on the side of your car.
Which they did.
Which,
that's totally Le Mans.
Which has the most successful
credibility? Yeah, they both do. I mean, I think the Apple car did really well at Le Mans.
It ran at Le Mans 71, which is an argument against 9. But and then there are guys, and I don't like this, but there are guys who go, well, put 9 on one side and put 71 on the other side.
Negative.
And I'm like, it's not symmetrical. I don't like that.
No. That ain't going to happen. Yeah, the other thing that the Le Mans started with the brake discs, the wheel discs, and then it went to the just BBS. Like
Le Mans started with
the fans.
And the fans are kind of an integral part, especially on the Apple car.
Yeah.
Because they're all a different color. And that was weird but unique and made it memorable to me at the time.
They would do one color of the BBS brake fan in the front rim and another color in the rear, which again is asymmetrical and probably bumps me a little, although I appreciate I'm sort of with you in that it's interesting and memorable, but the aesthetic of it, if you were just going to show it one time, I'd pick the same color.
Well, and the other side is orange and red, so it was four different ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was completely different.
Mind blown.
But now you know which one goes where.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Depending on the race, because, you know, when you're in the middle of a race and you got to change the tire, you don't give a shit what color fan's on there. You're like, just stick it on there. But, yeah, the Le Mans, there it is with the orange and yellow.
So, because we were wondering about that. We see the pictures. We see the fans. They're different colors.
Yeah.
And we didn't know if it ran four separate colors.
Four separate
or
colors.
It was just, like, orange on one side and yellow and then.
You know, if you did, usually you show a car at some press event. Mm-hmm. And here's the Apple car, and it had the four different ones on it the first time.
Wow.
And then when you race, it doesn't matter anymore. The Sox car actually ran these a few times. Because
they just
grabbed one of the tires and stuck them on it.
Because they were all Garrettson.
They're all right there,
Garrettson Racing and all in the same world. And what Sox or Sax, as it phonetically sort of sounds, is that a restaurant?
No.
It's
metal pieces. Shocks and Sox break.
I was thinking of the other thing that's on the...
That restaurant Sox. No.
Right?
No, I was thinking of the... I got confused with the Hawaiian Tropic car, which has a big restaurant
The Sox car had Uncle Charlie's.
Oh, it did?
No, it had Charlie Horse. Charlie Horse Saloon, which was Santa Clara or somewhere down like Mountain View.
Sounds like a strip joint.
It does, but it wasn't.
I wonder what it cost back in the day to get a minorish sponsorship.
Not much more than the Snickers themselves, probably.
Yeah, something 10 grand, like that. Maybe, for the season. I don't know.
Oh, speaking of that, I was going to say, Acura is the new title sponsor of the Long Beach Grand Prix.
Yeah.
I feel like Toyota's had that for a while, and you guys...
32 years or something like that?
You're bringing back the celebrity race?
We should. And Adam's the first guy we'll call, right? Yeah. Let me call John right now. We'll say, hey, but let's get the celebrity race.
So the Acura Long Beach Grand Prix, that probably costs more than 10 grand.
I think so. Well, it costs 10 grand. Also more than that. Yeah.
Is it mid-ish, end-ish April? Is that about
it's beginning of April? Like
oh, beginning 15, of April.
Tax time.
Oh,
usually
wow.
Tax time. Yeah. Hey, let's go to the races and cry.
I will enjoy that this year. I'd like to get out there. It's a great.
It should be cool.
It's a great event, and it's so funny.
Well, now we know a guy.
I just had I had James Brolin in sitting where you're sitting yesterday. I was talking to him, and he's like, I was talking about, I think the first time I did the Toyota Grand Prix, I did it with your son, Josh Brolin, and he's like, he didn't say anything, but on the screen it said he won the second one.
He was pretty good, yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of interesting, this whole generations of guys. I mean, literally, James Brolin wins in 1974,
right.
And then Josh is participating, who's unborn at that point, probably an infant, and now he's doing it in 03. Like, it's kind of a generational thing.
I was really disappointed when they didn't do it, because it's kind of – that was a big event for people to come down and at least see a celebrity because they're right there. You know, it's like, wow, this is cool.
It was – it's April 12th through the 14th, people should know.
So the weekend before is probably the drifting.
And what would you do, Dave? I'm going to tease this.
Okay.
If you own that Apple car
– oh.
Would you put it in Hawaiian Tropic – livery as it ran Le Mans with Newman, came in second overall, won its class, or the super iconic Apple livery with the four different color wheels.
Well, that's...
Don't answer.
I
think. I search your soul.
I already did.
All right. Search it again.
I'm 50.
Search,
I mean,
search Matt.
It's between Paul Newman or... Whoever drove that car, Alan Moffat. No, it's like...
No, they... Now, at some point, Ray Hall drove it.
Bobby drove it. So that's...
Drove it as well. And so Brian Redman.
So Redman and Ray Hall, that's why I brought up Alan Moffat, because it's like Alan Moffat, Paul Newman. Yeah.
Yeah, Alan Moffat was this, like, Canadian guy who just wanted to...
Yeah.
Okay. He's a successful guy, wanted to go race
How
Le
much
Mans.
Cash does it take to drive a car? Yeah, like so...
And I think they could kind of... You know, they'd have three drivers, and it's like you would sort of go, well, I want to be a fighter pilot, but I don't have any combat experience or anything. Right. They go, if you pay enough money, we'll let you sit between the pilot
and
the
co-pilot.
I can't fly. Yeah. Yeah, but at some point, you're going to take the yoke and be alone in that intruder. All right, you think about it. Gene Hackman was in that movie, Flight of the Intruder.
Love Flight of the Intruder.
All right, Castrol Edge. Think of your answer. Do not verbalize yet. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep metal parts and that fight the power-robbing friction to unlock exhilarating performance. It keeps everything lubed and nice and cool. And by the way, three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as per the Kurt Orban test, which is done on the 530 viscosity grade. Edge formula always exceeds the toughest industry standards. It is new. It is improved. It's Castrol Edge. All right, Dave, answer.
Castrol Edge. That's what I did.
Castrol Edge car.
All right. So I will digress a little. In Sacramento Valley region, Porsche Club has a newsletter called The Drifter.
Mm-hmm.
And the first cover I ever did for The Drifter was the Apple car. So I got to go with the Apple car.
You go with the Apple car.
Okay.
Provenance is one thing, but the impact of it. And, you know, when it's next to the other Newman car, I think that you own it. The other car, there were a lot of 935s that had different paint schemes and some memorable Whittingtons, even though they did what they did. Mm-hmm. But some not so. And I think that the Apple car is one of the best K3s. The Sox car and the Apple car to me are the
Yeah, I agree. I'm a fan of the Sox car. Yeah. I think it's beautiful. And I like the K3 body style a little bit. There's some guys that are purists that like the other 935 style, but I'm sort of leaning a little toward the K3.
Yeah.
Well, because it wasn't factory, so then it became, you know, which one do you factory or you do Kremer? And, you know, they're K3 is awesome.
You know, it's funny. I was just speaking to Michael Mann, super director, writer, whatever, and he started talking about cocaine and bringing in the cocaine and race cars and cocaine and drugs and whatever.
K3s, they were the king of that.
And I said, oh, you must know the Whittington brothers. He's like, oh, yes. I go, buddy, you got to make a movie about those guys.
Or do. Senior. Senior shot a witness. Like, yeah, you know.
I would Whittington argue. Senior.
No, John Paul.
Oh, really?
Because John Paul ran a K3. He ran the light blue and yellow K3. And they were not in this. They were in the same business, but not in the same business.
Oh, the light blue and yellow one looks pretty good too.
Yeah, that
but
was
not as good. As
that was Junior fans. Though. Junior was fast in that car, and he's great.
All right, we have a live show coming up at the Peterson Automotive Museum. Wow. That's March 10th. Everybody, we'll keep you posted. But come out, man! We're going to have a bunch of celebrities and a bunch of really cool cars. As we mentioned before,
we have a few tickets left for the screening of Uppity, the Willie T. Ribbs documentary.
What is the date of that?
March 10th, Sunday, March 10th.
Okay, where's my plug, Max Zapata? Just got into this yesterday with cousin Gary. Remember, was I complaining to you about this on the phone there, man?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Remember that one?
Oh, there it is.
Not Taco Bell material. There you go. That's my stand-up special. You can go to AdamCarolla.com or you can go to TUGG.com and check that out. And if you get enough people to come to a theater, it'll be at a theater near you if you can get enough people signed up.
That's the thing. All the screenings, there's 20 screenings happening on the 27th of February.
Wow.
And people got to go to AdamCarolla.com, get the tickets, and when they fill up, the screening happens.
Nice.
Thank you. I got mad on the job. You know why?
Taco Bell delivers. Will you?
Yes. Dave Merrick, everyone.
Hey,
Man
thanks
Seeks
for having me,
Adventure,
Ben.
Available on iTunes as well. And you can check out Shift and Steer as well. And give a little love to Matt.
Acura Long Beach Grand Prix.
Long Beach Grand Prix. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dave Merrick and Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.